Officially announcing the 75-year challenge and pledge. Join in the celebration and pledge your support by donating $75 today. Your donation goes directly to support the families we serve daily. Mail your donations to LCCC, 1300 West Muhammad Ali, 40203. Call 502-853-8821 or log on to lcccnews.org.
It's official. The Old Walnut Street Plaza Business Intelligence Center, powered by LCCC and Woodforest National Bank, have partnered to launch its second Entrepreneurship for All cohort. The last time we offered this program, we had an influx of entrepreneurs interested in participating, and 16 of them are better off than where they started by utilizing the resources, mentorship, and the network of like-minded individuals to help them grow as an entrepreneur. Are you looking to launch a business or move your business forward? If you answer yes, then you may be a good fit for the E4All powerful program that empowers dreamers and transforms them into entrepreneurs. If you have an idea, a hobby looking to make money, or looking to grow an existing business or nonprofit, the E4All program works with individuals from a wide range of industries. This accelerator program is slated to start with the E4All kickoff event this January 23rd, 2024 from 6 to 8 p.m. and it's free to attend. And you know what? A business plan is not required. Do not miss this opportunity again. Contact me, Zyberia Perrier, Manager of Adult and Special Population Services at 502-583-8821 or by email at zperrier@lcccnews.org.
Are you ready to make a real impact in your community? Look no further than AmeriCorps Vista's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project at LCCC. Become a Vista Community Impact Ambassador. Become a catalyst for positive change. Picture yourself working hand-in-hand with local leaders, organizations, and residents to empower the Russell neighborhood. As a Vista volunteer, you'll play a vital role in creating lasting solutions to address poverty and inequality. Your dedication will help build a stronger, more vibrant community for everyone. Make a difference, make connections, and make memories that will last a lifetime. Join the AmeriCorps Vista team at LCCC's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project today. Visit our website at lcccnews.org to learn more and apply. Be the change you want to see in the world. Become AmeriCorps Vista Community Impact Ambassador, where your passions meet action.
And welcome back to Russell on the Move. Kevin Fields, CEO at LCCC, in the studio with Herbert Johnson, and along with our special guests from the 7 p.m. group, Carl Brasley and Vincel Anthony. And we're talking about advancing equity through minority contract participation. And we've had a great conversation about it so far. Folks, if you've just joined us, you can join this conversation. If you want to, you can call the number here at LLV. Is 502-571-1240, and we welcome your questions or comments. But we're going to continue the conversation as well, because we know that there is a market that's burgeoning with opportunity. Construction abound. We've got the hospital going up, and shout out to the leadership there. That's going well. We've got work going on at Churchill Downs. There's we heard the mayor announce major developments happening. You know, and guys, you heard about the big announcement on this housing initiative, kind of a mixed development over on Lexington Road. I know you guys are on the have that on the radar. And let me come to you with this, Vincel, because I know in being in some of your meetings recently, you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on here, because you're tracking a lot of these big projects with the ideas we need to approach them. So can you, again, just talk about the variety and the size of different construction projects, and then we're going to talk about the health of our community to stand up when those opportunities are available to us.
Yeah, I can just, you know, name off a few, and I'm sure there's some additional ones that that Carl can fill in the gaps as well. And of course, Kevin, with your engineering background, even when you try to get away from it, you can't. I know you are way way there's way more going on that you're dialed into than folks are aware of. Like I said, with your engineering background, you can never quite take that head off. Yeah. But there's the massive projects that you mentioned a couple of them, at the airport. like $500 million project. The most folks, if you've been paying attention, what's going on off of 264 over the next few years, the size of that project is north of $500 million being spent at the airport. Our Stanford Field / Ollie Airport, there's the big VA hospital that's being constructed right off of 264 at Brownsboro Road. That's over $840 million. You've got, you mentioned Churchill Downs. I believe there's a combination of the on-site Churchill Downs location is close to $200 million in expenditure there. Then the newer facility or location at the, I think what they call it, Derby Gate. What's it called? Derby City Gaming, yeah. I think that's another $8 million being spent right downtown. You've got the Northwest Project, which you've mentioned. That's going to be right at north of $90 million. So I could just continue to go on. Baptist East has got over $100 million of expansion taking place. There's all the affordable housing. There's the Park Hill Project. There's just lots of things going on all over the city.
Yeah, I had to guess a couple of weeks ago. We're building a waterfront park on the west side of Waterfront. There's a lot. The opportunities are out there. It totals up to billions of dollars. So on one hand, we should say fair share. But on the other hand, and, you know, challenge us to think critically on this, because I've been around for a long time in this market around construction management, as well as the civil rights goals of including minorities and been dealing with this stuff. And I was told point blank back as early as 1999 that, oh, we can achieve our minority goals with the Mexicans. We ain't so worried about blacks anymore. And so the question is, are we ready for these opportunities, Carl? You know, let's look at it from their side. If they're going to say it ain't that the opportunities ain't out here and we willing to work, but if we got some other folks who are minorities that are willing to work, you know, how do we deal with that? That's a tough issue, isn't it?
You know, I'll say no. So I'm gonna just tell you, I'll be disruptive and say, okay, if you can do it, Mexican, do it. Whoever you can do it, right? Show us that you do it with, for somebody, right?
They excluded too?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is my thing. You know, there's if you want to exclude the black community, then exclude them and see what that gets you, right? That's all I'm saying. So like, but if you serious, then do it. Do it with somebody, right? But you're not doing it with anyone. So do it with someone. My thing is do it. I think, you know, from what we've seen is where there's no accountability and no repercussion, then there's no change. So you can use your degrees and education, and you can talk philosophically and theoretically about what needs to happen and all that. That's wonderful. We can do that as well. We can speak to Queen's language and just have a discourse on all the pros and ills and cons. But at the end of the day, what matters is who gets checks,
yeah,
right? The economic piece of it. And what we're saying is we want checks where there's no opportunity. But then you can say what you want. You can say we're unprepared, but we're unprepared because we don't have opportunity. Give us opportunity, then see what happens. But, you know, so that's an easy one to dance around. But like I say, at the end of the day, let's look at the bottom line, see who got checks. Because nobody did a million-dollar project until somebody gave them the opportunity to do a million-dollar project. So then why you want to say, well, you know, we can't use you. You haven't done that much. How did you get your first million-dollar project? Before you ever did one, somebody had to give you opportunity to do one. And that doesn't change. No minority company is going to be able to say they did a $1 million project until somebody gets them the opportunity to do a $1 million project.
So that's where the rubber hits the road. That's the crux of the matter is we're not getting major opportunities with contracting. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I mean, like regardless whether you African-American, Hispanic, whatever it is, we're not seeing it anywhere. So like we're not excluding our Hispanic brothers and sisters.
So therein lies the grievance. Economic injustice. We just don't get the opportunity. And so why is that? Is it because we're not ready, or is it because people just ain't wanting to give it up? You know, they got to give it up, right, guys?
Yeah, bottom line.
Well, Kevin, I'll say this. The mayor's previous mayor actually created a task force, and it's still intact, the mayor's task force. And it was intentionally, you know, put in play to really dial into the African-American experience, if you will. How much money are you spending with the African-American community? And though this community, you guys have talked about it on this broadcast, so it's not, you're not strangers to this. I mean, Louisville's made up between 18-20% African-American, but there's, you know, right below 2% African-Americans that own their own businesses. And that after COVID, you lost quite a few. And there's been a combination of other things that caused those numbers to keep sliding down and sliding down and sliding down. And so you really got to be, going back to that, intentional when it comes to how are you going to spend your money, because there are some entities, some organizations that actually are probing deeper with their, as you say, use of the King's English and saying, we're going to be aggressive and add another adjective to how we're going to break this thing up. We want to see participation, not just with minority, but we want to see how we want you to spend a certain amount of money with the African American community. And we're tracking that part of it. Now, not everybody's bold enough to do that, but that's when you're really being very, very intentional. And now you're doing probing and you're challenging the community to do right by, you know, by its constituents, to do right by its community in, you know, in general. And so when the mayor's task force puts out its annual reports and you dive into that thing, I think it's made up of about 10 different entities. And the simple challenge is, hey, are you spending money with minorities? And are you spending money, question number two, are you spending money with the African-American community here in Louisville? And the numbers are revealing. Some have a whole bunch of zeros. Some have blank spaces. Some have really low numbers. But that is, in my opinion, where you begin to at least challenge folks to do better by just turning the light on it and then allow the community to identify, are you okay with those numbers? Almost like taking a test in the classroom. If you make a 70%, in some circles a 70% is okay, and other circles not so much.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you went there, Vincel, because I wanted to talk about policy and advocacy, and you're right, you brought up the mayor's equity and procurement task force, but I want to remind us and maybe raise a challenge, a friendly challenge, because, and I'm saying this to our public officials, that particular task force was installed by Mayor Greg Fisher, and we've since had a change of administration, and now we have Mayor Craig Greenberg. And I know that he embraces the idea because the task force is still a viable entity, but we haven't heard him speak squarely to the issue of, so the question becomes, what policy and advocacy initiatives should we as a community consider just to make sure that one, the books are clear on what the expectation is around African-American participation in contracting, and that's in government and external to government. What can the government do from a policy standpoint? You know, there are ordinances that can be passed. I'm reminded as a policy person that the only real civil rights-based public policy that exists in America is at the federal level. Most state governments don't have much to say around it. You know, the DOT in Kentucky, which is largely a federally funded initiative, they talk about it, but that's because of their connection to federal dollars, and it is lip service call, you're right. And the local governments, Metro Council, hasn't made it clear on what the expectation is. I remember George Unsell, one of his final acts, impactful acts as a Metro Council person, was to write an ordinance requiring that the arena be built, one, with minority participation goals, and two, with a local preference. And he had to create that because there wasn't anything on the books at the Metro Council level. So what is the policy agenda and how can we attack this issue just to keep it fresh on the new mayor's mind?
So, you know, obviously there has to be policy for it to be sustainable. but I think, too, I'm going to kind of go back to my other line. You know, I've talked to a number of different private and government leaders of companies or in, various different cabinet positions. And I think that they get it and that they're for more inclusion. But where I think that it gets diluted, that has to be reverberated throughout the whole administrations or corporations or companies. So if you have a leader that says, hey, let's set a goal, and the company sets a goal for a project or for how they want to do things, if that's not intentionally pushed and supported through the policies and the repercussions, so you know, then it's not going to happen. So if you got your project managers and there's no if their jobs are secure, even if they don't hit the mark, then there's going to be no change. If you got general contractors and they have goals set aside for projects they're supposed to do, but there's no repercussion if they don't hit it, then you don't take it serious. You know, we all grew up similar, that your parents told you to do something. If you did it, okay. But if you didn't, there was repercussions. And you learned real quickly, like what things you had to do and what things you could get by with. You know, I knew some things that my mom said she wasn't going to take as serious as other things. Other things when she said, like, I need to do it and do it right now. And then I knew it and I did it right then. Other things I knew I could kind of slide with. And it's just, there's no difference in business. Where there's intentionality, where there's repercussions, where there's policy behind it, where we're going to be held accountable, you see change, you see things happen. And I think, as we spoke earlier, for the projects and the leadership who have stood behind, created the policies, and stood behind it and let people know it wasn't just conversation, they were standing behind it when they pulled back projects, as JCPS did on one occasion. They stopped the project and brought people back. When they see that it's real, that is real and it's supported and there's policy behind it, and there's repercussion, it happens. When there's just conversation, it's like nothing changes. So as policy, yes, we need to have it, but then you got to stand behind it and enforce it. So I think along with policy, there also has to be repercussions if the policy's not followed.
Yeah. Vinny, you want to add anything on that?
Yeah, the piece I would add would be in my opinion, in that policy space, you really need to lean into three different areas. Those three areas, in my opinion, are: one, are you engaging the community? You know, when you come in and you have these initiatives, are you hearing from the community? Is it a thumbs up? Is it a thumbs down? Maybe there's just a lot of questions. Or do you just show up and start building? Whether you're a healthcare entity, like University of Louisville Healthcare, supposedly they're supposed to be doing some things. I believe two or three supposed investments in West Louisville. Well, are you getting the ear of the community? I know Norton, they had their big project. They're moving into the community, and they paused and got the voice of the community. So I'm just throwing it out there. Whoever you may be, Ford, you know, coming in town from on high in Michigan and dropping a wonderful plant in E-Town. But did you get the voice, and are you getting the voice of the community? And then number two and three would be workforce, the importance of workforce participation, and that workforce being intentional with respect to African-American workforce, minority workforce. And the second and the third piece I would say is then back where we were in the beginning, which is the business owners, the minority business community. Are you intentional there? So those are my three things I really try to, you know, want to lean into, that we at least bring it to the table. Are you engaged in the community? What's your workforce looking like of everybody? And then those minority businesses, are you spending money with them? Somehow that needs to be incorporated and be part of policy.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And I guess my only caveat is how do we make that a mandate such that it's done consistently? Because as you said, the Norton is a great example. There has been community engagement. We were honored to host multiple community engagement events at our site at Oak Walnut Street. The waterfront is being intentional about community engagement. That's why Janetta Roberts is on contract there to manage that process. Just had a call the other day, a new project, guys, that we're going to be talking about in 2024, reimagine 9th Street, which is a major corridor development, redesign, reconstruction of the proverbial 9th Street. You know, we've been talking about the 9th Street divide for many years, and Amira Palacio is spearheading community outreach on behalf of that project. So in a kind of an ad hoc, a one-off way, I guess it depends on the owner and the intentionality of the owner, as we have stated, that happens. But there's a lot of projects that don't even consider asking the community anything. They just do their thing. So how do we move past that? So that's a rhetorical question. I know we don't have a lot of answers for that. We don't have time to tackle them if we do.
But, Kevin, can I interject real quickly on the policy part? There's one other piece. African-American business have to be vigilant about insisting they get their piece as well. So there's a responsibility. You know, I talk about the ownerships and the GCs, but as well, the minority businesses. I know many times we've done work and we've asked businesses to bid. And we're telling them that's why we're there, to make sure they get the opportunity. But now you got to do your part. So if the ownership does its part and its intention is to say, we're going to make an opportunity. If the GCs are like, hey, here's opportunities, then the minority businesses, they have to be it. You can't just complain and not do your part. So there are people out there like LCCC and many others who are trying to do their part to make sure there's inclusion. But then the minority businesses, you got to step up to the table and do your part as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, you know, the hours is winding down. And here's the good news. We're about to wind down this year, 2023, but we don't end on a negative note in any scenario. We're going to end this show and this year on a positive note. And so let's talk about the outlook for 2024. You know, it's just a couple of weeks away, guys. The new year is coming.
Amen.
Yeah, happy new year. And so let's talk about what the future outlook is. And come to you, Vincel and Carl. In terms of 7 p.m., I don't know if you guys have thought about what's new on the horizon and kind of what's the vibe, you know, how are you taking on this new year?
Well, I'll say a few things and I'll pass the baton to my super fast partner who's still got a little athleticism in him. I get a chance to see it every now and then when I see him trying to avoid the cold.
He is a beast. He is an athletic phenom, and so I know he ain't lost it.
Yeah, he still got it. Like I said, I see it when Jack Frost comes after him. He flies in that car.
That's about the only time.
right. A couple things I'll just share as it relates to 2024 is the 7 p.m. group. We're going to be really trying to as we've said here before, really push the envelope and challenge our owners as these new projects, as these new opportunities make their way into the state of Kentucky. Quite frankly, we're going to be strategically working with the state chamber on some really awesome initiatives and carrying that message all throughout the entire state. I believe it's 120 counties across the state of Kentucky, and just challenging the state of Kentucky overall to do better, to not let Nashville and Indianapolis, cities that used to be under us, if you will, and quite frankly, they just belong right past us. And if we don't want that to continue to happen, as we speak specifically to Louisville and even the entire state, Covington's growing because of Cincinnati, and Bowling Green's growing because of Nashville, we really need to just be super sensitive to the fact that this state has to be deemed as an inclusive state, or it'll be one of those states that folks just drive through, drive by, fly over, but never stop and park, if you will, and make it home, whether it's a business or you're trying to make sure that the really talented folks that graduate from our awesome universities we've got around here, U of L, UK, WKU, Eastern, Murray, Morehead, it's a lot of them. But a lot of those really talented kids, they get that degree and they head elsewhere. So that's the thing that we're really going to try to lean into is in a mighty, mighty way throughout the entire state, push the envelope when it comes to workforce and being more inclusive universally all the way around.
Amen. That's an awesome vision. And as you know, we're going to continue to collaborate and partner with you guys to bring that vision into fruition. But Carl, from your front, what is it, ditto?
Yeah, pretty much. The only other thing I would add is, man, we're going to continue and try to step up the pace, work with more what I'll call champions, like LCC and so many others who are also doing work. So our goal is not just to be inclusive with the businesses, but all the other great partners we have around the state, you know, Apex and Lexington, and I mean, just many other organizations and corp. So part of our design or plan is to try to aggregate and work, be more inclusive with all the partners and champions like LCC. You guys are doing an awesome job, and I mean, just an awesome job. And we need to work closer with you guys as well. So besides that, that's the other part of it.
Yeah, well, you know, we're partners, and we're in it to win it, and we're in it for the long haul. So, guys, we got just a few minutes maybe for some closing comments. And I'm glad that we've had this conversation about minority inclusion. And just to sum it up, it is about intentionality of owners, but it's also about us as a contractor community being intentional about, you know, representing our capacities to do the work and to confront those opportunities, ready to get under contract. But we also know that there is a systemic issue to keep us off of the big jobs, keep us out of the big contracts. And we need some more millionaires, some more multimillionaires, multi-million dollar companies emerging out of the black community. We've had a big three, big four maybe, as long as I've been an adult, in terms of, you know, black-owned companies that are multi-million dollar companies. We need a few more.
Right.
And a part of our job in this current leadership role is to make sure that the generations behind us, that we're identifying and we're supporting and we're cultivating those new entrepreneurs. So, guys, closing comments.
I just want to throw a quick shout out to my buddy, Gail Strange. Man, a new champion. Awesome, awesome. Proud of you, girl. Do your job.
Amen. Congratulations. We've got a big layout here of this week's Louisville Defender, big layout with Gail, and certainly her coming behind Sister Diane Porter. You know, we know you got big shoes to fill,
yes,
Gail, but we know you are a high stepper and have been for a long time. So we got your back, and we know you're going to do great work. Herbert, any comments?
Final comment would be for me, just everybody have a great holiday season, and enjoy the show today, Miss Ellen and Carl. So, learned a lot about, you know, the construction business and contracts and stuff of that nature, and look forward to 2024.
Amen. Amen. Herb,
share some of the millions.
Yeah, right.
Pincel, final word from you?
Yeah, final word from me would be to any of the listening audience. When you see new construction taking place anywhere in the state of Kentucky, be bold enough to find out who is the owner. Be bold enough to ask them, do you have minorities participating on this job, whether it's on the workforce side or as it relates to minority business owners being a part of this project. There's way too many cranes and construction projects that just come and go, and then we're some of the first ones that'll get in line to contribute to the success of that business. But I'm challenging us to, before you go give them your dollar, to stay at their hotel or to attend their sporting event or go into their healthcare facility or their school or whatever. I'm just challenging us to be savvy enough to ask the question, and I believe that's the beginning of change. And hoping everyone has an awesome holiday season.
Amen. Amen. So that sounds like a marching order. We're going to go into the new year, 2024, with boldness, with courage, confronting these challenges, and selling our dreams and aspirations to those that can help, you know, to advance the work. You know, and guys, I'm going to close the show today. You need to remind us that we're still celebrating 75 years of community impact at LCCC. Our website is ready to receive your contribution. So if you see fit, we've got a few days before the end of 2024, so you get your tax deductible donation into us. Go out to our website. Any increment of 75 is welcome, or anything that you would like to bless us with. And certainly I want to thank all of those that have responded. The numbers have been looking good, and they're coming in. Yeah, tonight there will be a miracle on Main Street. And if you don't believe it, tune in or be there and witness it for yourself. I'm going to end on that note. Go Cards. Go Cards.
Go Cards.
Until the first Thursday in January, because we're going to be out next week. Be safe and be blessed. God bless you.